Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, May 16th, 2006, for a special edition of Taking Aim. Today on Taking Aim for the WBAI Fund Drive, we have something very special to offer you for your incredible contribution to WBAI supporting listener-sponsored free speech radio. And that is the presentation, the standing room only presentation by Ralph this past April, April 23rd at St. Mark's Church. Hope many of you were there. We know people were looking forward to have a copy of this 3.5-hour DVD. That's right, for a visual DVD, first time offered for Taking Aim, from Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, A System in Terminal Decay. What a title, what a speech. I had the opportunity to see it. Absolutely riveting, packed full with information for your contribution to WBAI of $100. I'm going to give you the number to call, have Ralph say a little about the 3.5-hour presentation, and since hearing is the best way to get an idea of what we're offering today, we're going to play, start off with the beginning, play the first 30 minutes, and then come back and speak with you again. The number to call, 212-209-2950. Remember, you can get on the line, call the many volunteers waiting in the WBAI studios to take your call, because this will be coming to you, and you'll have it for your own personal library. $100 contribution for a 3.5-hour DVD, From Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, A System in Terminal Decay. Ralph, do you want to say a word before we go to the DVD?
Well, Maya, as our listeners will know, Taking Aim has prepared an eight-part series called Creating the Next Pandemic, which tracks the government biological laboratory production of mutated viruses designed to target the civilian populations in ours and other countries. But this whole process, this genocidal process, is intimately linked to the role of the United States government in the creation and orchestration and cover-up of 9/11 itself. And that talk, which Maya is describing, the talk that I gave at St. Mark's Church of our brother Frank Morales in the village on April 23rd, synthesizes the data concerning the role of the United States authorities in regard to 9/11 and integrates that with the specific preparation of a pandemic. It converges around an organization known as the Carlyle Group, which we discuss in detail in this talk, because there you have the defense contracts and the heart of the Pentagon and the merchants of death converging with the pharmaceutical industry, on whose board sit Cheney and Rumsfeld, the very figures who are so integral to the creation of 9/11 and the Carlyle Group itself. You're going to see here, brothers and sisters, in this presentation, a synthesis of who did 9/11 and who's involved in creating the pandemic. And above all is a discussion of some intensity about where do we go from here, how do we respond, how do we build the fight back.
Great, Ralph. And so our listeners know we're coming to you by telephone. Ralph is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm here in Southern California. And this is one of the many advantages of listener-sponsored WBAI, is that they can hook up cross-country and actually internationally. And that's why your contributions are so important, to keep all this information and all the analysis open and coming to you 24/7. So our contribution for the WBAI Fund Drive, a very special contribution, is from Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, A System in Terminal Decay.
$100. We want our listeners to be aware, Maya, of the impact that WBAI has, that free speech radio has, and if I have to say it to myself, the impact that Taking Aim has had. Only last night, Iranian television called for an interview of some length based upon precisely what we've been doing here on WBAI and Taking Aim, a long interview and discussion with Iran Television about what's at stake in the targeting of Iran by the Bush administration for the next round in the permanent war. That is a measure of the impact that Taking Aim and the WBAI and Free Speech Radio is having. It's not just Iranian television. We're now heard from China to Turkey to Cuba to you name it, Norway. We ask our listeners to support this effort because it's having its impact and it keeps the idea of challenging these genocidal authorities with the truth and with the ability to fight back. That's what this is about. Please support it.
Well, more from us later. Member 212-209-2950, your contribution of $100 for a 3.5-hour DVD. And for our wonderful engineer, Michael G. Haskin, has got it queued up. Let's go on with the show.
Yeah, we'll go on with the show in just a moment. Maya, we have the program standing by, but we just want to let folks know once again that they can call for this. By the tally room is 212-209-2950, and we will begin straight away.
There was a rather elite gathering in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, a sort of breakfast gathering of directors of the Carlyle Group, and they weren't watching Howdy Doody on television that morning. When I began to delineate what appeared to us to be the basic structure of those who had organized and needed and unleashed the events of 9/11, important in that setting forth was an account of what became the Carlyle Group. George W. Bush's company, the Bush Exploration Company, with general partners and limited partnerships, had gone through several mergers, evolving eventually into the Harkin Energy Corporation. And it was soliciting and obtaining the investment of the bin Laden family, Sheikh Salem bin Laden and his fortune. Arbusto, which means bush in Spanish, was the company of George W. Bush. And the person who was facilitating that investment go-between and who arranged the meetings and arranged the cash was James Bath, and one of the top shareholders in the Harkin Energy Corporation was the Saudi financial investor Abdullah Taha Bash. Bash had been a close associate of Osama bin Laden during the period that he was being funded by the Central Intelligence Agency. And shortly after George Bush was appointed director of the Central Intelligence Agency, I'm talking now about the father, it was the Saudi Sheikh Salem bin Laden who appointed Bath as the business representative of the bin Laden family in Houston, Texas. Yes. Bin Laden, along with his brothers, who owned bin Laden Construction, the largest construction company in the Middle East at the time, had assisted the Central Intelligence Agency in a liaison role. And the court documents show that Khalid bin Mahfouz of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, a banking empire accused of money laundering and of using Middle Eastern money to tie political leaders to drugs and terror operations of the Central Intelligence Agency, was central to this enterprise. Mahfouz and his family owned a National Commercial Bank of Saudi Arabia, and according to the Houston Chronicle, Mahfouz and the bin Ladens were central investors in Arbusto and in Harkin Energy, Bush's companies. Now, the Wall Street Journal picked up on this story on September 28th, 2001. Bush Sr. in business with Bin Laden conglomerate through the Carlyle Group. Father of President should pull out of international firm. George H.W. Bush, the father of President George W. Bush, works for the Bin Laden family business in Saudi Arabia through the Carlyle Group. Well, what is the Carlyle Group? We asked at that time. It was actually in late September of 2001. Well, it was a major investment firm of $14 billion. And who were amongst its directors? George W. Bush Jr., former Secretary of State James Baker. Judicial Watch had published an investigative report describing the association of the Bin Laden Group with the Carlyle Group on March 5th, and it stated, it would appear there's a conflict of interest that could cause problems for America's foreign policy in the Middle East and Asia. And the Wall Street Journal wrote, this conflict of interest has turned into a scandal. The idea that the president's father and the president himself are in close liaison in business with the Bin Ladens, nominally under investigation by the FBI for the terror attacks of September 11th, is horrible. President Bush should demand that his father pull out. This has the potential of making Billy Gate look like small potatoes, end quote. Now, brothers and sisters, who can tell us that the bourgeois press is unaware of the relationships here? Is it credible that any single member of Congress or any single individual associated with the established order or established media would be entitled to what the Jesuits call invincible ignorance? They choose not to know. They know, but they choose not to know. It isn't just a question of our efforts in alternative media. Yes, we research the data, and we connect the dots, and we attempt to provide a critique and an analysis to inform ourselves and to ascertain what it is that this ruling class is engaged in doing. But much of that data comes from these very established media like the Wall Street Journal, which, of course, is hardly in the forefront of revolution. What was it that Bush was saying in the aftermath of 9/11? Those who give succor to the terrorists, those who have financial dealings with the terrorists, we shall seize their assets, you are with us or against us, and we shall destroy them. Quote, unquote. Mortimer Snerd. We find that it was Bin Laden's father and grandfather, both, who died in an airplane crash. You know what that plane was that crashed? It was the plane that carried Bush to meet with the Khomeini people in what was known as Operation Surprise on the eve of the election, when they were making an arrangement with respect to the American hostages to hold on to them until after the election, the October Surprise. His father died in the same plane that flew President George Bush Sr. and William Casey to this Paris meeting. Why is it, I ask, and I think we are entitled to know, that no one amongst those who are in the established media, having already seen it in their printed pages, reflects upon these relationships? That's a rhetorical question. Yes, it was that airplane. And so we find that the Bush clan and Harkin Energy and Arbusto are tied not only to the Bin Ladens, but to BCCI. Now that, as I mentioned, was the operation, and it joins Jackson Stevens. Jackson Stevens is the figure who was funding both Reagan and Clinton and Bush. He's a multi-billionaire based out of Mena, Arkansas. He was facilitating the drug traffic, the introduction of cocaine through Arkansas, through that airport in Mena. He's the principal financier of Bill Clinton in his career. Jackson Stevens is the figure who then locates himself in Venice, Florida, a huge edifice, the National Security Agency edifice, because Jackson Stevens is a central figure in the National Security Agency, which begins to tell us about the significance of the Huffman Aviation School, of Rudy Decker and Arnie Krieghoff, where the putative hijackers, Mohammed Atta and El-Shehi, were flying Cessna planes. Of course, as we pointed out at the time, Mohammed Atta, at least the Mohammed Atta that was being presented to us, was rooming with somebody named Charlie Voss. Charlie Voss was an Iran-Contra pilot. You know, he was flying arms into Nicaragua and drugs out. So the relationships here between Arbusto and Harkin Energy and what became the Carlyle Group and the basic elements of the cover story with respect to the events of 9/11 were abundantly clear. Well, let's look a little bit more at this Carlyle Group, and it will become clear in a few moments as to why. Its chairman, the former Secretary of Defense, Frank Carlucci. Now, you know, the man, the point man for the organizing of the murder of Patrice Lumumba was a young Frank Carlucci for the agency. It's also interesting to note that a protege of Frank Carlucci was a young officer named Colin Powell, whose career flows from that relationship. We find that the Carlyle Group, quote, is drawn to defense. Defense and aerospace firms such as United Defense Industries made up a significant share of the world's largest private equity portfolio. And also represented were federal data information technology, real estate, and Carlucci was joined by high-level people from the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration, including Baker and ex-budget chief Richard Darman and former President Bush and former United Kingdom Prime Minister John Major. As the Wall Street Journal said, traveling with the fanfare of dignitaries, Bush and Baker used their extensive government contacts to further their business interests as the representatives of the Carlyle Group, a $14 billion equity firm that has parlayed a roster of former top-level government officials into an enormous money-making machine. For instance, Frank Carlucci, the Reagan Secretary of Defense, was as much as anyone responsible for Carlyle's success. And he met in February with his old college classmate, Donald H. Rumsfeld, the current Secretary of Defense, and Vice President Dick Cheney, himself a former Secretary of Defense under President Bush, to talk about military matters. At a time when Carlyle had similar billion-dollar defense projects under purview, Carlyle was as deeply wired into the administration as it was possible to be, generating enormous amounts of money, specializing in buying up companies that do business with the Department of Defense, and then arranging for sweetheart contracts that inflate hugely the stock value and thereby the fortunes of the principals in the Carlyle Group. It's a paradigm of the kleptocracy that is corporate capitalism. The Baltimore Chronicle and Sentinel ran a story on its front page. The Republican-controlled Carlyle Group poses serious ethical questions for the Bush presidency. Described by the industry standard, the Baltimore Chronicle continues as the world's largest private equity firm with over $14 billion under official management, and implying that there is a lot more offshore. You can be sure of that, brothers and sisters. When we talk about the $7.3 trillion that has vanished from the accumulated coffers of the Pentagon without so much as a paper trail, it's offshore in proprietary companies. It is a enforcement apparatus of the ruling class that engineers the disappearances and the death squad operations, and indeed the kinds of operations of which 9/11 is a paradigm and an example. This article continues. Isn't it a bit odd, considering that it is run by a virtual who's who of political leaders? Frank Carlucci, chairman and managing director, college roommate of current Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, James Baker, George Soros, finance bankers, Fred Malik, who was forced to resign when he was described as Richard Nixon's Jew counter. This was another of the people involved with these directors. 420 partners all over the world, from Saudi princes to the former president of the Philippines. And indeed, the Reagan-Bush regime figure Robert Mueller, who was selected as the new director of the FBI, was a key part of the group and controlled legal and political operations with respect to the Iran-Contra procedure. Now, there's a great deal more to be said about the Carlyle Group, and I don't want to dwell on it because I'm setting this forth to prepare us for something quite specific. Because the Carlyle Group's interests were not only in the arms industry and the merchants of death, but abundantly involved in the medical industrial complex and notably the pharmaceutical industry. In Merck, in Eli Lilly, in Gilead. Rumsfeld is a point man for these particular operations. Now, there's another man who emerges in relation to Carlyle. Buying a front row seat for a future in biodefense, when the maker of the country's most widely used anthrax vaccine cut the ribbon on its new plant in Frederick County last week, an array of public officials praised the package of financial perks that drew the company here, writes the Washington Post, December 5th, 2004. Was this giveaway really needed to lure BioPort, a Michigan-based vaccine maker, to Frederick? BioPort, a subsidiary of Emergent BioSolutions, Inc., opening a 150,000-square-foot vaccine plant in an industrial park. Well, the chairman of BioPort was Admiral William Crow. From submarine captain to the highest levels of the Pentagon to U.S. ambassador, Admiral William Crow. He was a good choice. He's a very charming guy, we're told. He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for William Clinton. He was a key figure in that regard for Ronald Reagan. Now, the Bioport Corporation has another chairman, Fuad El-Hibri, son of Ibrahim El-Hibri. And the El-Hibris are associates of Khalid bin Mahfouz, which takes us to BCCI, to the Osama bin Laden fortune, and it does the following. The El-Hibris were in charge of applied microbiology and research at Porton Downs in England, which is like Fort Detrick of Amerit in the United States, where much of the experimentation with bioweaponry takes place. The camera labs at Porton Downs are the British equivalent of the American biowarfare labs at Fort Detrick, Maryland. In particular, they were the only source located outside the United States for the biowarfare anthrax vaccine. Millions of dollars were handed over to Bioport to generate an anthrax vaccine that were imposed on members of the American Armed Forces in their hundreds of thousands by order, resulting in an array of neurological disorders, which if you go to the site of the Gulf War veterans, you will find cited, along with the effects of depleted uranium, but particularly in relation to this anthrax. And Fuad El-Hibri, as a director of Porton, was given the exclusive right to market commercially the biowarfare vaccines and other products produced by the British government at its Porton Down labs. Immediately after Fuad El-Hibri won control of the products produced at Porton Downs, he arranged delivery of biotech defense products to the Saudi royal family. And these were devised as pass-through biological agents for Iraq during the Iraq war with Iran, provided them by the Central Intelligence Agency and Director George Herbert W. Bush to Iraq for its use against Iran.
Isn't that terrific? Just as I said, from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay, a blockbuster standing room only presentation by Ralph Schoenman at St. Mark's Church, April 23rd. You've heard just the beginning of it. This is a 3.5-hour presentation. There's over an hour of question and answers. Actually, there's an hour and a half of question and answers. It's a 2-hour lecture, an hour and a half of dynamic question and answer, which are another presentation in themselves. And they're all part of this 3.5-hour DVD, yours for $100 contribution to WBAI. 212-209-2950. Get on the phone today. This is our only day this week that we're on the air for WBAI so far in the schedule. That's 212-209-2950. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. It's not available in any stores. It's not available on the internet. It's not on our website. It's not on the WBAI website. It's only available for your sustaining contribution to WBAI. $100. Where else do you get for $100 such a dynamic, incredible, informative information DVD? You're going to want to share it with everybody. 212-209-2950. I'm taking up the space because This is the first time I heard this lecture. I wasn't able to be at St. Mark's in New York, and I'm telling you, this is incredible. As many times as I've heard Ralph's speech, as many times as we participate in our Taking AIM programs, here he puts it all together in such an exciting and dynamic way. 212-209-2950. Ralph, do you want to tell us more?
Well, by what we're doing here, Carlisle Group, was that breakfast that I started out to describe, was taking place on the morning of 9/11, and the directors of the Carlisle Group, an unknown clandestine group at that time, were watching the World Trade Center implode as a gathering on the morning of 9/11. William Crowe and the Bioport are the instruments of the anthrax attacks on the Post Office and Congress of the United States. What we document here is the fingerprint of the military strain of the anthrax virus, the AIM strain that emerges from Fort Detrick and from the military labs with which William Crowe is intimately associated. William Crowe is also the person in charge of reviewing the bombing of the embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam, which were the operation of the FBI, as the San Francisco Chronicle documented.
And
this begins to inform people about what underlies this engendering of a mutated virus, flu, Ebola, Marburg, AIDS itself, the weaponization of these viruses, the targeting of civilian populations, and the deployment of this entire terror apparatus and scare apparatus to prepare for martial law in the United States.
Ralph, documented. Remind folks first about, before you go on, I'm going to interrupt you, because often when Ralph starts speaking, people don't get to the phone because they don't want to miss a word. That's the wonderful
Maya, and I'm going to interrupt you as well to let you know, and Ralph, that there are six calls on the line now, and to also let you know that you have a fantastic opportunity here to reach a lot of people and have people pledge for Taking AIM to WBAI by calling that number. And we need to remind them that only at a station like WBAI will we be able to hear this kind of information without any kind of commercial interruption or interference. So those of you who are calling right now, please continue to call. I also need to let folks know that we need volunteers. So if you have some time this afternoon and can come down. If you're leaving work now, please come on down to 120 Wall Street on the 10th floor. Bring some photo ID and come on up and help us answer phones and take pledges for Taking AIM, Ralph Shoneman and Maya Schoen. They're going to be doing this up until 6 o'clock, and we need your help and support. So please, if you're not being picked up right away, please be patient and allow the people to get to your telephone calls. Ralph and Maya worked very, very hard putting this together. Ralph was out here in the area, and it was standing room only. People were lining up. I'm sure it was quite warm in there because people were dying desperate for this information, and they are now. We have it here at WBAI, and we'd like to present it to you. 212-209-2950. Use your Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. You can send a check or a money order, but do call this radio station right now. Maya and Ralph?
212-209-2950. As Michael said, if the line is busy, use your redial button or dial that number again, 212-209-2950. We need to have all the lines at WBAI filled. We're on today for 2 hours, and during that 2 hours, we want to give you the opportunity to have created from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. Now, information about 9/11 is very interesting and is quite the blockbuster. Information about creating the next pandemic, very important. As you know, we had an 8-part series. We had 6 parts last year and another 2 parts this year, and we'll continue as more information becomes available. But here in this speech, for the first time, Ralph connects the events of 9/11 to what is happening now with the refabrication of smallpox, a disease that has been eradicated throughout the world, and yet here we have the U.S. government recombining, recreating, and creating, in fact, a smallpox that is not, for which the vaccine, the current vaccine, doesn't do a damn thing. So here we have 212-209-2950. Get on the phone.
Yes, brothers and sisters, what we're talking about are the laboratory creation of viral agents mutated so that they are irreversibly infective without any immune response. And the interesting thing about this, as we document in this presentation, is that the pharmaceutical companies that are profiting from this have on their boards Donald Rumsfeld, George Shultz, Dick Cheney. 750% profit on the part of Rumsfeld alone just from Gilead Company making a failed vaccine in relation to the superflu that they are actually manufactured in the lab. We named the labs, we named the places, we named the virus, we described the process, we show the ownership, and we'd connect this to the preparations for quarantining our people and for engendering military control. This is the relationship between 9/11 and creating the next pandemic. Please support this work, obtain the information, make it your own, back up WBAI in its allowing this information to reach people and in mobilizing our citizens to respond to the criminals who are committing treason at the top. 212.
Ralph, when you start talking, the phone stop ringing. So I'm going to give the phone number again, 212. Give everyone a chance to get to their phones. 212-209-2950. It should become your mantra right now. Call your friends. Let them know what's going on the air in case the because this is an hour earlier than Taking AIM comes on, and that they're missing something, and that they, too, can contribute to WBAI and have it for their very own. 212-209-2950. As Michael said, checks, debit cards, any financial instrument of relevance, money orders, 212-209-2950. This is an instance where you know your money is doing you some good. It's like, you know, people every month, they have to pay their utility bill, they have to pay their rent, they have to pay or their mortgage. They have all these things that are essential basics for maintaining life. Well, WBAI is just that. It's hard to imagine what life would be like without WBAI. Well, there is that possibility because WBAI depends upon each and every one of us. But, you know, we don't just ask you to contribute to WBAI. We prepare special gifts. And our special gift from Taking AIM is this lecture. The room could only hold a certain number of people, and even the people who were there wanted to hear this over and over. As you know, with Taking AIM, our programs are packed with information. You can never hear the show just once, and that's why we have a website with the shows. But this is one that won't be there. Your only opportunity is during this WBAF fund drive for From Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, A System in Terminal Decay. 212-209-2950. I love to hear the sound of those phones ringing because I know with each and every call, this is an opportunity for the information and the analysis to reach you and for you to use it to bring it to other people. It's that networking, it's that spreading that's going to allow us to change the world. And we need the information, we need the analysis, we need to make it part of our own. We don't just do this to impress people. We do this so that the information becomes yours, so that you can go out in the world and you can tell people exactly what is going down. Ralph?
209-2950, 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters. Lab 257 is on Plum Island off Long Island. And that's where the government is making Marburg and Ebola viruses. That's the genesis of the crisis in Africa with this spreading disease. That's the reason why there is a secret Pentagon center in Kenya monitoring the spread of Marburg and Ebola viruses before they even get engendered there. The government monitoring operation set up prior to the outbreak itself. Who is in control of that? The same apparatus that we're describing in the Carlyle group. The very figures connected to BCCI. The very apparatus required by William Crow and Jackson Stevens in the Pentagon in preparing the elements of 9/11. All of this is connected, and the documentation is there, and the politics are expatiated. But you have to call, you have to support, please. Get this DVD so that you're in possession of the evidence in a way that can be utilized effectively, politically, and continuously. 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters. We want you to support Free Speech Radio. We ask your support for WBAI, and we hope you will support Taking Aim and our Speaking Truth to Power about who did 9/11. What's the real underlying nature of this flu epidemic that they're constantly threatening us with on a global scale? And it ain't just flu. It's anthrax. It's smallpox. It's camel pox. It's cowpox. It's the Ebola and emerging new viruses. It's AIDS itself. Part of this presentation provides the documentation about the genesis of AIDS in the actual government programs. We specify the times when it was funded, the way in which it was funded, the places where it was produced, and the manner of its dissemination in Africa and in the Caribbean and the United States. The same people, the same ruling class, the same criminals at the top, the same apparatus of control. Support us in providing this data and this information, please. 212-209-2950.
And remember to come down and volunteer. The number of lines and the ease at which you can reach WBAI to make your contribution depends upon the number of volunteers in the tally room. And the more people down there, it's also a very festive time with food coming in and getting to know new people and sharing the conversation, but also being a participant in helping WBAI stay on the air. 212-209-2950. $100 contribution to WBAI from Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, a System in Terminal Decay. This is a very recent dynamic lecture given by Ralph in New York at St. Mark's Church, organized by the 9/11 Truth Alliance, Les Jamison, Frank Morales, and others who did a fabulous job. They created a wonderful situation. Our hats off to them. They are consistent in every week, and they really pursue the uncovering of the truth about 9/11. And made this opportunity, we have to thank Joe Friendly for creating the DVD, for coming down and videotaping it, making it so visual. As you know, we usually have just audio CDs, but here we have a visual video DVD, and this is 3.5 hours. We're packing 3.5 hours onto one DVD for $100. Now that is a bargain for a contribution to WBAI. 212-209-2950. I can tell from the phones ringing that we have a few more people in the tally room.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Maya, we want to ask the people that are calling in to please be patient as we make our way to the phones to answer your phones and take your pledges. Be patient. We're working just as fast as we can to take your pledges. But the phone lines are ringing, Maya and Ralph, and this is really wonderful to see. And we thank you all very, very much. Please continue to call. If you're not being picked up right away, please be patient and wait. We will get to you. We know you want this information. For a pledge of $100, as Maya said, this DVD that Joe Friendly, and we thank him always for all of the work that he does in helping us from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic. a system in terminal decay for a pledge of $100. 212-209-2950. Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. Just be patient as we get to your calls. We're getting other producers that are around the station that are not very busy right now. They are busy in producing their own programs, but we're asking them to come into the tally room so they can help take these calls right now. We almost have a full board, Ralph and Maya, and I know this is gratifying to you both. So okay, I'll back Michael. Out of the way and let you continue on.
Okay, well, we can play another brief excerpt before we get to the 5 o'clock hour. When
sure.
We'll come on again.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that.
Okay, we're going to play another brief excerpt. Actually, it's continuing on the lecture. Because of some technical issues, we're not going to skip around. We're going to continue on, but we'll be back at 5 o'clock to discuss more of what's going on and also to remind you to call in 212-209-2950. Remember, this is 3.5 hours, 2 hour of an incredible lecture.
It's the smoking guns, brothers and sisters. Let's be straight about this. It names the labs, how they're reviving the flu virus, who's doing it and why, the ownership relationships, and above all, its connection to not only the genetic engineering of superviruses, as Myra and Ho has established it, but Bush's call for military control, for a quarantine that involves virtual martial law. As the Wall Street Journal documents, the aim is to create a pandemic bird flu virus. That's their headline. Super flu being brewed in the lab, says the New Scientist magazine. Pentagon wants new spying powers in the U.S. in relation to what? Biocontrol, quarantine, martial law, brothers and sisters.
Well, Ralph,
all of this is spelled out. Please, 212-209-2950. Make this information your own.
Okay, we're going to continue with the lecture, another excerpt, and then I think we'll fast forward when we get later and give you an idea of some of the rest of the lecture. 212-209-2950.
Had worked in the mergers and acquisitions department of Citibank in Jeddah, where he specialized in arranging investments for Saudis and in Citibank, and Fuad al-Hibri was the banker for the financial holdings of the Bin Laden Group and for an $18 billion holding of the Carlyle Group, which includes the participation of the Bin Laden family. Both the Bin Laden family and the Carlyle Group are reputed to have partnership interests with Fuad al-Hibri's Porton International and Bioport Investments. There's a great deal about this labyrinth that we could discuss, but I want to move on. Guess who owns Bioport? The only U.S. anthrax vaccine producer, the great anthrax stock swindle. Where do we begin? Well, let's begin with Admiral William J. Crow, Jr., back when George H.W. Bush was setting up Osama bin Laden as a freedom fighter. Vaccine Nation. What is shaping up as one of the most draconian weeks since the Bush administration took power? The Senate ratification of the Homeland Security Act leaves little doubt that corporate interests have a major stake in the post-9/11 re-engineering of American law. Central to this, Fuad al-Hibri, Ibrahim al-Hibri, and Admiral William Crow. The only U.S. anthrax vaccine maker called negligent. Why is the United States, home to some of the largest drug companies in the world, endangering the health of its military personnel with an anthrax vaccine which has generated severe illness in almost all who have received it? Every one of the 2.5 million Americans serving in the armed forces is required to receive a 6-shot anthrax vaccination made by Bioport. Yes. William Crow and Carlyle. A biodefense boondoggle as pharmaceutical companies line up for multi-million dollar contracts to make bioterrorism vaccines. Some question whether the industry is up to the job. This is Bill Hogan and Mother Jones. Well, I don't think it's quite the question as to whether they're up to the job. They had a $343 million contract with Dynport, a joint venture of defense contractor Dynport and Britain's Porton International, to procure a variety of vaccines for diseases that include anthrax and smallpox and new emergent viruses. Vaccine maker Bioport and Bin Laden, a profitable symbiosis. According to a story published by the Pakistan News Service on the 1st of December, documents referring to U.S. anthrax vaccine maker Bioport Inc. were found in the possession of Al-Qaeda in Kabul in Afghanistan. So exactly what is Bioport Inc. and who runs the company? Well, Bioport is the only corporation in the United States with a license to make the anthrax vaccine. Except that Bioport doesn't actually make the vaccine. Bioport simply bought the laboratory that does make the vaccine, Michigan Biologic Products Institute, from the state of Michigan in 1998. Exclusive customer for the vaccine, the U.S. Department of Defense. According to former Central Intelligence Agency military analyst Patrick Eddington, the $60 million worth of anthrax vaccine that Bioport is expected to produce for the Defense Department in the next 5 years is just the beginning. There's some interesting aspects of this, brothers and sisters. You see, there is a person named Lois Batuello whose specialty is research related to corporations, and she knows the ropes. Admiral Crow on the board of Bioport, a company making a bundle on the current anthrax scare, links up with key investment and reinsurance houses. Let's look at that. Alex Brown for Bankers Trust. This is the firm that executed the puts prior to the September 11th attack, that took positions in the stocks of American Airlines, United Airlines, and Boeing, and brokerage houses and reinsurance companies, including AXA Insurance, Swiss Re, and Munich Re. That suggests foreknowledge. You bet it does, since these trades hubbed from Alex, acquired with Deutsche Bank's acquisition of Banker Trust, and the gent heading Alex Brown unit, which was Deutsche Bank's trading brokerage arm, was terminated suddenly. Former Director of Enforcement for SEC, Richard Walker, took a position as staff counsel for Deutsche. The career path of the Niz Hartzman, which is an Israeli firm, is a dark side of this puts venture. But we're looking at here the famous investment through puts and draws on stocks of the airlines, which made huge amounts of money for those who undertook them, and of course the SEC was not interested in inquiring further about this. We have a breakdown. Israel Tech Acquisition Corporation, with the names and addresses of all its beneficial owners, along with Deutsche Bank, Carlyle, I suggest to you that when we want to understand the financial interests that were involved in preparing 9/11, this is a smoking gun. Biographical information regarding the directors, nominees, and executive officers of these companies that made these puts. E.O.F. Stern, age 45, chairman of the board and executive officer and director of the company. From the company's inception until June 22, 1995, Mr. Stern was the co-chief executive officer and co-president of the company. Helix Management Company, Helix Capital Services, a mergers and acquisitions firm, president and director of WordStar International, Inc., vice president of business development of Elron Electronics, director of Random Access. By the way, Mr. Stern was the main procurer for the Israeli Air Force for 10 years of F-15s, A-4s, Mirage, and Kafir fighter.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. This is Tuesday, May 16th, 2006. We're in the midst of the WBAI Fund Drive. For the past hour, we've been listening to the dynamic presentation by Ralph Schoenman at St. Mark's Church on April 23rd. These are excerpts from the DVD, the 3.5-hour DVD, including 2-hour lecture and 1.5 hours of dynamic question and answers, from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. If you just tuned in, we'll be playing more from the DVD and also discussing what's on the DVD, what you're going to get to hear. 212-209-2950, $100 contribution to WBAI. And many people are assisting in the tally room. The phones have been ringing off the hook, and some of the producers have come in to assist the volunteers. Thank you so much for all your assistance. Please keep the phones ringing, 212-209-2950. We only have an opportunity to play a small portion. We're going to play from beginning to when the keep pausing and then going on rather than skipping around. And next week we hope to play some of the questions and answers and also present another important DVD. But for this week, remember, 212-209-2950, your contribution of $100 from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. Keep the phones ringing, and we'll keep playing excerpts from this important presentation.
Ralph? Brothers and sisters, would you like to know who actually engineered the foreknowledge puts and calls on the airlines that made not hundreds of millions but billions of dollars of short-term profit for the people who actually prepared 9/11? We knew that it happened, but I've got the names of the companies, the individual figures who engineered it, their connection to Carlisle, their connection to the Israeli intelligence apparatus Mossad and its Air Force, and the relationship between that and the biolabs.
Well, don't give it away. Let people listen to the DVD and find out. 212-209-2950. Tell us more. You sent me a breakdown, a log of all the important things that are on this DVD, going into, again, the connection of Clouds of Secrecy and the work of the Sunshine Project with all the Army experimentations, the White Coat Project. Avian flu as a weapon. You discussed SARS and the pox virus. So much more as you were talking. talking before about all the military laboratories and the and how Ebola is really created in the laboratories. Actually, Marburg.
Marburg and Ebola in Lab 257, right in Long Island, Maya.
Right, and also in Marburg, which ended up in Marburg, is named for Marburg, Germany. All the research that was going on in Africa and how it was transmitted then, and the lab technicians in Germany came down with the first cases of Marburg, and the reason was not a mystery when you started tracking it back to Africa and the labs where they were experimenting and creating these viruses for use in Africa.
And that's something
we had discussed. That's something we had discussed in Target Africa. But here what Ralph does is he takes all this information that we have been discussing on taking AIM for 5 years, he takes it and he connects it to the events of 9/11 and how they relate. And that's why the title of this speech is From Forging 9/11. Yes, specifically creating 9/11, how it was put together to creating the next pandemic, the next scare tactic. And what we're going to be hearing soon on the DVD is about the category of terror, the analysis of this.
Let me make this point, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
The puts and calls that were the predicate for 9/11 continue into the biological weaponry that is being imposed on the population. One of the main companies making the vaccine for the so-called bird flu is Gilead. The principal there is Donald Rumsfeld. When they first began this preparation of these viruses, the shares were $7 a share. They're now over $50 a share. Rumsfeld has cleared 720% profit in this short period of time. It doesn't begin to talk about the money they're going to make once they inflict this. 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters, we're dealing with a criminal ruling class. It's treason at the top. We're in their gun sights. We're in their viral sights. It's up to us to fight back with knowledge, with information, by supporting WBAI Free Speech Radio. Please call 212-209-2950. This is Taking AIM. We're with you again, brothers and sisters. Support this work. 212-209-2950. And now we'll go to the videotape, as they say.
Michael?
Well, brothers and sisters, while we're waiting for the next excerpt from this 3.5-hour presentation on April 23rd at St. Mark's Church, which ties it all together from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, please call 212-209-2950, a DVD that captures the event and the dynamic interaction with an aroused audience, focused, clear, pointed, mobilized, angry, desirous of change, wanting to fight back, a very, very thrilling, from my point of view, interaction and exchange captured on DVD. Call for it, please. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters. A 3.5-hour DVD that ties it together, that gives the data, that names the names, and connects the relationship between the pandemic and 9/11 itself and the preparations for martial law that the Bushmen have in mind.
And remember, if you get a busy signal, redial. We have many people in the tally room, not enough to handle all your calls, so please be patient. 212-209-2950. And remember, you can also call while the DVD is playing, because you're not going to miss anything. It's going to be yours. And it's already produced. There's going to be no delay. As soon as we have all the orders, this DVD is going to go out to you. 212-209-2950.
Okay, and we'll go back. Yep, and we'll go back right now. Ralph and Maya, Ralph Schoeman and Maya Schoen, thank you very much. This is a special edition of Taking AIM with Ralph Schoeman and Maya Schoen. They started at 4. They'll be going until 6 p.m. And we'll go back to the tape now. And then when we come back, we'll thank some people who have called in from around the area, from Connecticut, from Farmingdale, New York, from all around. We'll thank them in a little bit. But now back to the material forging 9/11, creating the next pandemic.
Are the architects of 9/11, I suggest to you. Guess who owns Bioport, the only U.S. anthrax vaccine producer, the great anthrax stock swindle. Runs it down. Admiral Crow sits on the board of directors and owns 13% of Bioport. Only corporation in the United States with a license to make the anthrax vaccine. So on. Report of the Accountability Review Board of the Embassy on the bombings in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam on August 7th, 1998. Now, I mentioned in my talk yesterday that the bombings of the Nairobi embassy, the Kenya embassy in Nairobi, and of the embassy in Tanzania in Dar es Salaam was the operation of FBI operatives, as the San Francisco Chronicle has established, who are also the people who had provided bodyguards for Osama bin Laden during his undertakings for the Central Intelligence Agency in Afghanistan. Who is the chairman of the Review of Accountability Board investigating the embassy bombings in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam? It's Admiral Crow. Yes. Now, I'm going to say something about the anthrax outbreak that occurred, if you recall, in the Congress and in post offices. You remember? Evidence that the terrorists were coming at us with their anthrax. So important it is, therefore, to vaccinate our soldiers. Well, the Federation of American Scientists, in particular Barbara Hatch Rosenberg of the Federation of American Scientists, did a real piece of scientific investigation about this anthrax. It's the AIM strain, the AIMed strain. And it is produced only in U.S. military labs. Indeed, she established that the four AIMS substrains that were detected in this anthrax, all under the control of Fort Detrick, and they were isolated by laboratories in Ames, Florida. And these were weaponized anthrax germs that were deployed. Now, F. William Engdahl has written a piece called Bird Flu, a Corporate Bonanza for the Biotech Industry. Tamiflu, Vistid, and the Pentagon Agenda is his article. It's an important one. On November 1st, 2005, President George W. Bush went to the National Institute of Health in Bethesda to hold a high-profile conference, press conference, to announce a 381-page plan officially called a Pandemic Influenza Strategic Plan about the prospect of a pandemic influenza in the United States. If history is our guide, there is reason to be concerned. In the last century, our country and the world have been hit by three influenza pandemics. And viruses of birds, from birds, have contributed to all of them. The first, which struck in 1918, killed more than 50 million people. You know that? More people died from that bird flu virus than in the First World War. Mr. Bush was remarkably candid about the imminent danger to the American people. Our scientists and doctors cannot tell us where or when the next pandemic will strike, but most agree we are likely to face another pandemic. Now, prominent among the president's list of emergency measures was a call for Congress to appropriate another $1 billion explicitly for Tamiflu. Well, as the author says, the saga of Tamiflu is but the tip of a big iceberg. The real point of interest is the company in California who developed Tamiflu. It's Gilead Scientists, which is listed on the NASDAQ as Gild. Well, who is the chairman of the board? Why, it's U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld purchased additional stock in his former company, worth $18 million, making him one of its largest, if not the largest, stockholders today. Fancy that. The bird flu scare is just heating up, according to a report in November 14th Fortune magazine. So the defense secretary decided not to sell as many shares in Gilead. See, he didn't want to sell them because he didn't want to be accused of insider trading. He decided to hold them so that the president's announcement would allow the stock to climb appropriately. Since early 2001, when Rumsfeld became defense secretary, Gilead's stock has gone from $7 a share to a hair above $50 a share. Well, it's a nice little profit. It's about 720% profit for Mr. Rumsfeld in a short span of time. And they've got a big stake in imposing on the American people through Gilead Sciences, which is no small-time biotech startup, as this article discloses. It has a total market capitalization of $22 billion. Its board includes Bechtel Corporation director and former Secretary of State George P. Schultz. And by the way, Schultz turned a neat $7 million profit this year by selling some of his Gilead stock. Visteed is another one of their planned vaccines. And Bechtel is right up there with Halliburton and grabbing the lion's share of the sweetheart contracts. Did not hurt Bechtel's business that Schultz and Rumsfeld knew each other from their common days on the board of Gilead. There is a bomb in Gilead, brothers and sisters. Yes. And the Gilead model has a parallel with the Halliburton Corporation. Because, you see, Vice President Dick Cheney is also involved with the pharmaceutical industry investments of his brother in struggle, Donald Rumsfeld. Now, before we go into the flu pandemic, as you know, Maya and I did a series called Creating the Next Pandemic. It's so far an 8-part series. But I want to take us through some of the history here. Because, as we've discussed in relation to the events of 9/11, themselves. They are not sui generis. These sorts of operations are endemic to the functioning and workings of this ruling class. Every major imperial adventure has been preceded by a pretext event, what we call a false flag operation. Now, in relation to the category of terror, it is not merely a false flag operation that defines these acts. It has to do with the ideology of the ruling class in our time. Because this capitalist economy is wholly dependent on arms production, as Donald Rumsfeld said a week and a half ago, He says, do you realize in 1940 we had only 200,000 people under arms and they were training with wooden rifles? That's a far cry from where we are today. He said, yeah. $10 trillion to the Pentagon, formerly in paper, for a space of 4 decades, which is more than the value of everything that we produce in this society. The Great Depression was resolved through addiction to arms. This capitalist economy is dependent upon it. And war is the instrument of its survival. In 1931, Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, under the auspices of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigation, infected human subjects with cancer cells. He then established the United States Army Biological Warfare Facilities in Maryland, Utah, and Panama. And he was named to the United States Atomic Energy Commission. And while there, Dr. Rhodes began a series of radiation exposure experiments on American soldiers and civilians in hospitals in the United States. Let's go back even a little further than that. In 1900, the United States military doctor undertook research in the Philippines, infecting Filipinos with plague. He continued his research by inducing beriberi, and the experiments resulted in uncounted fatalities across the Philippines. In 1915, doctors in Mississippi produced pellagra in Mississippi inmates. In 1931, the Puerto Rican cancer experiment undertaken by Dr. Cornelius Rhodes under the auspices of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigations infected these subjects with cancer cells. They died. The experiment was uncovered, and in spite of Rhodes' written opinions that the Puerto Rican population should be eradicated, written opinions, he went on to establish the United States Biological Warfare Facilities in Maryland, Utah, and Panama, and was named U.S. Atomic Energy Commission as I mentioned. Well, then there's the Tuskegee syphilis study. 230 poor black men infected. 1940s, a crash program to develop drugs to fight malaria during World War II. Well, so they infected prisoners in the prison system across the United States with the disease. 1950, the United States Navy sprayed clouds of bacteria over San Francisco, claiming that the bacteria were harmless. San Francisco residents became ill with pneumonia-like symptoms for which there was no remedy, and many died. The number is not given. 1950 to 1953, an array of germ warfare weapons was used against North Korea. There were releases of feathers infected with anthrax, fleas and mosquitoes dosed with plague and yellow fever, and rodents infected with a variety of diseases. The Eisenhower administration, brothers and sisters, passed sedition charges against 3 Americans who published evidence of these activities. When we were doing the International Tribunal on U.S. War Crimes in Indochina, we were investigating the utilization of bacterial and biological and chemical agents against the population of Indochina. We had written about this, Russell and myself, to the New York Times. And we were fortunate because it emerged that a professor of biochemistry at the University of California was by error invited by the Navy to come to a meeting where clearance scientists were hearing a briefing. And they described how they were going to impose plague bacteria on the fragments of fragmentation bombs, and they were going to drop them at night because they didn't want the deleterious effects of sunlight. But they explained, first they were going to saturation bomb the area in Vietnam because there had been no history of plague in that area. And Joseph Needham came and he gave testimony in Stockholm before the tribunal on precisely this process, which as we see has a long and antecedent history. On June 9, 1969, Dr. M.M. McCarter, Deputy Director of Research and Technology for the Department of Defense, appeared before the House Committee on Appropriations to request funding for a project to produce a synthetic biological agent for which human beings have not yet acquired a natural immunity. Dr. McCarter asked for $10 million to produce this agent over the next 5 to 10 years. The congressional record reveals that according to the plan for the development of this germ agent, the most important characteristic of the new disease would be that it would be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our freedom from infectious disease. AIDS appeared as a public health risk, but a few years later. Now, the Times of London, on its front page in 1987, published an extraordinary report. Something like 1 million acres had been leased from Joseph Mobutu in Congo. And the World Health Organization began a process of imposed vaccinations throughout Central Africa. The investigative reporters of the London Times put a grid over the locations where this vaccination was imposed by World Health Organization. And there was a one-to-one correlation with the emergence of AIDS clusters, as the London Times set forth in this long article on the front page of its paper in 1987, and where that World Health Organization pseudo-vaccination program unfolded.
Been listening to From Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, A System in Terminal Decay, Ralph Schoenman's blockbuster presentation at St. Mark's Church, April 23rd. If you were there, you were in the standing room only packed audience who had the opportunity to hear this lecture, and you probably want your own copy. Now is your chance. If you weren't there, as you can tell from the excerpts that we've been playing, this is a 3.5-hour program that you don't want to miss. You want in your library and you want to share with all your friends, your family, and your colleagues. And you can. You have the opportunity today. $100 contribution to WBAI, your listener-sponsored free speech radio station. 212-209-209. 2950. The phones have been ringing consistently, and we want to thank all of those in the tally room who've been taking your calls and all of you who have called. Please be patient if you don't get someone right away. That means more, you will have the opportunity in just a moment. 212-209-2950. Thank you for making that call. From forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay, Ralph Schoenman's blockbuster presentation, connecting the events of 9/11, how they were created, the conspiracy of the corporate rulers to create it, and how they are staging the next pandemic, this category of terror, to keep us subordinate, subjected to this profit-making, to fill their coffers with profits as we suffer. From forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. And we say terminal decay, but we have every opportunity to turn that around through our organization, through our collective experience, and part of that is the communications media, our own media, WBAI at the forefront. Your contribution of $100 keeps WBAI broadcasting 24/7 into your living room, into your car, into the radio that you carry with you, and on your computer here, there, and throughout the world. $100 contribution. If you live outside the tri-state area, this is one long-distance call that is for you. And this will be available on the Internet. But at the moment, your contribution should come in through this phone number, 212-209-2950. From forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. Ralph?
And before you start, Ralph, just let me say, Maya, you mentioned outside of the tri-state area, we've got a matching fund, an $800 matching fund from Ross, California, called in to WBAI with a credit card pledge, and we thank Mr. Durst very, very much for his belief in this radio station, his belief in the program, Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Ralph, just let me thank a few people before you begin.
Michael, could you also explain what a matching fund is for people who don't know?
Sure. A matching fund. Mr. Durst had put this $800 forward, and he is giving that to us
on the condition that we
match that money, that we raise $800 to coincide with his $800. So that's what that matching fund is, and we really thank and appreciate Mr. Durst for sending us that matching fund.
All the way from California.
All the way from California, on the internet at WBAI.org. We sometimes get calls, as you know, Maya and Ralph, from around the country and around the world, particularly when Taking Aim is on. Anthony Baldwin in Brooklyn, New York, called in with a pledge for WBAI for this. Danny Rodriguez did from Staten Island. Theodore Copewell III from the Bronx. Joseph Ribby from Clifton, New Jersey. Catherine Montano from Valley Stream, New York. Anselm Giles, I believe, from Jersey City, New Jersey. Tom Sharkey from Oak Ridge, New Jersey. Mr. Frank Miscelli from Elmont, New York. David Pinkham from, Byram Township, New Jersey. Pierce Augustine from Flushing, New York. Hugh Johnson from Brooklyn, New York. And that's just some. Thank you very much. Please continue to call. The board is lighting up, Maya and Ralph. Take it back away.
Thank you, Michael.
We want to thank all the producers who've come in to help the volunteers in the tally room. Remember, if the phone line is busy, press your redial or dial it again. 212-209-2950. We want to thank each and every one of you for letting us know that taking AIM is so important to you, that the information, the research, the time we spend researching and putting it all together, that the analysis has meaning in your lives. From forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay, this isn't just about 9/11. It is not just about the issues of the next pandemic. What Ralph does in this presentation, this unique presentation, is he ties it all together. These are not separate events. This is not, these are not distinct and discrete moments of history. There is a consistency and there is a reason. And the reason that capitalism resorts to this is because it's in terminal decay. We have the opportunity to turn this around. And WBAI is at the forefront of this with providing us 24/7 the information and the opportunity to communicate and to network with each other. 212-209-2950. As Ralph and I are in two different parts of California at the moment, and again, that's another of the unique opportunities that your contributions enable WBAI to do, which is to link up with people throughout the country and throughout the world. So please keep those phones ringing. Ralph?
Yes, Maya, 212-209-2950. Brothers and sisters, White House. President outlines pandemic influenza preparations. Quarantining for meningitis, whooping cough, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and infectious diseases and emergent viruses. And Bush authorizes use of quarantine. This is the New York Times, the Associated Press. Bush has assigned an executive order authorizing the government to impose quarantines throughout the United States to deal with lethal variations of influenza. We go through the preparations and who is responsible, because these are viruses emerging out of United States military laboratories where they are mutating the genomes to create variants for which there is no immune response, and then engendering vaccines that that create huge fortunes and are totally ineffectual and useless.
That's right. And one thing about these vaccines is some of the companies that are producing them are new to the creation of vaccines, and they're testing new methods, and they find out that they are ineffectual. And who are they testing it on? They are testing this on U.S. soldiers, the soldiers that they send to Iraq.
But the vaccines are a cover for introducing the viruses themselves throughout Africa and Asia and the Middle East, and now within the United States itself. We document this. The program, the talk, goes through chapter and verse and connects this, as I said, to the creators of 9/11 specifically, by year, by date, by person, by company, by military agency, by specific order, by collusion, and it's laid out, brothers and sisters. We want you in possession of this information because this is not a spectator sport. We're engaged in a fight back, a survival fight back for all of us. BAI is absolutely indispensable to this struggle. Please, 212-209-2950. Get the information, mobilize your friends and associates and workmates, but above all, please, continue supporting WBAI and Free Speech Radio and taking AIM, because it's your support that allows this information and this analysis and this agitation to continue on
Ralph,
the air.
One of the things I thought was very important that you do in this speech is the reference to Rosa Luxemburg, and it turns out you found out that Rosa Luxemburg captured this from Friedrich Engels. And that is the notion of socialism or barbarism, because the later part of this speech, which we won't get to today, but those of you who make your donation to WBAI will have it, is the analysis of how we can organize and make a change for to improve our lives. Because this, it's not inevitable. It is not inevitable that this happens. We have every opportunity to make a difference. This is not a course. It's not written in stone that this is what has to happen. We are the ones who are in charge of joining together and making a difference. So you sent this to me, and it is incredible. It's from Chapter 1 of the Junius pamphlet by Rosa Luxemburg, and she writes, Friedrich Engels once said, quote, bourgeois society stands at the crossroads, either transition to socialism or regression into barbarism, end quote. What does regression into barbarism mean to our lofty European civilization? Remember, she's writing at the time of World War I, and what Ralph is describing in this speech is, it's ever so true today. Until now, we have all probably read and repeated these words thoughtlessly, without suspecting their fearsome seriousness. A look around us at this moment shows what the regression of bourgeois society into barbarism means. This world war, and she's referring to World War I, but it is every bit as true for every other world war or the transgressions throughout the world, such as against the people of Iraq. This world war is a regression into barbarism. The triumph of imperialism leads to the annihilation of civilization. At first, this happens sporadically for the duration of a modern war. But then, when the period of unlimited wars begins, it progresses towards its inevitable consequences. Today, we face the choice exactly as Friedrich Engels foresaw it a generation ago, either the triumph of imperialism and the collapse of all civilization as in ancient Rome, depopulation, desolation, degeneration, a great cemetery, or the victory of socialism. That means the conscious, active struggle of the international proletariat against imperialism and its method of war. This is a dilemma of world history, an either-or. The scales are wavering before the decision of the class-conscious proletariat. The future of civilization and humanity depends on whether or not the proletariat resolves to throw its revolutionary broadsword into the scales. And this is every bit as true. And that's why Ralph, in his lecture, Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, adds the phrase, a system in terminal decay. It's up to us, brothers and sisters, and one of your opportunities is your $100 contribution, which will help with the matching funds. Remember, every $100 helps towards another $800 contribution.
And Ralph,
212-209-2950.
And Ralph and Maya, might I make a suggestion, because we are running short on time now. The news will be starting at 6 o'clock. If we could go back to the video for maybe 5 minutes and then come back and encourage folks to support Taking Aim and support WBAI again.
Yes.
Great idea.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Again, this is a special edition of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. We'll be going up until 6 p.m. this evening. We're going to go back to the tape, Forging 9/11 to Creating the Next Pandemic, a System in Terminal Decay. The number is 212-209-2950. Please make your calls now. Use your Visa cards, MasterCards, American Express, checks, or money orders. If you want to become a member, $25 is the membership rate. Please call us now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We'll play a little bit more of this very fascinating, compelling tape.
He's developed an unusual condition called gynecomasia, a condition in which males develop full female breasts. The internees had been forced to undergo a series of injections during their incarceration. 1981. 300,000 Cubans stricken with dengue hemorrhagic fever. Investigation by the magazine Covert Action Information Bulletin tracked the workings of intelligence agencies and documented that the outbreak was the result of the release of infected mosquitoes by the Central Intelligence Agency from a facility run by the CIA in Panama. 1982, Salvadoran trade unionists established that epidemics of previously unknown diseases had cropped up in areas immediately after the United States directed aerial bombings. 1985, Dengue fever strikes Managua. Shortly after, an increase of U.S. aerial reconnaissance missions. Half of the capital city's population is stricken with the disease. In ruling on a case in which a United States sergeant attempted to bring a lawsuit against the Army for using experimental drugs on him without his knowledge, the United States Supreme Court determined that allowing such an action against the military would disrupt the chain of command. And all the potential actions against the military for past or future deeds of this nature were barred, as have actions aimed at the release of classified documents on the subject. And as the result, in 1987, of a lawsuit by a public interest group, the Department of Defense was forced to reveal the fact that it operated chemical and biological warfare research programs at 127 sites around the United States. In 1996, under pressure from Congress and the public after a 60-minute segment, the United States Department of Defense admits that at least 20,000 U.S. servicemen were exposed to chemical weapons as a result of the dissemination of agents by the military. Clouds of Secrecy is a book by Leonard A. Cole, a professor of public health at Rutgers. The Army's germ warfare tests over populated areas. New York Times. A penetrating study of the Army's clandestine, it's a 40-year biological warfare testing operation, exposing the young, the old, and the medically compromised to infections at 239 sites around the country. This is Paul C. Warnke, former chief negotiator at SALT II. Dr. Cole's extraordinary research book presents a convincing case that the United States government has used the American public as guinea pigs in a biological warfare operation. Bacteriological agents, trillions of bacilli in the subway system of New York, in the school systems of Minneapolis and St. Louis, and above all in the Bay Area where I live, where trillions of bacilli were released, resulting in a tenfold increase in brain and spinal meningitis. Boyd Graves, The Smoking Gun of AIDS, a 1971 flowchart. A secret federal virus program produced 15,000 gallons of AIDS. The record reveals that the United States was represented by Dr. Robert Gallo and the USSR was represented by Dr. Novohatsky. And it proceeds to disclose the areas where the AIDS virus was released. Now, this has its antecedents. The Herald in Glasgow, as the world recoils at the horrific possibility of Al-Qaeda terrorists waging anthrax war against United States citizens, the Sunday Herald can reveal that Britain manufactured 5 million anthrax cakes during the Second World War, with plans to drop them on Germany in 1944. The aim of Operation Vegetarian was to wipe out the German beef and dairy herds and then see the bacterium spread to the human population. The anthrax cakes were tested on Greenard Island off Westeros and cleared of contamination in 1990. Operation Vegetarian was planned for the summer of 1944, but it was abandoned after the Normandy invasion progressed successfully.
You've been listening to Taking Aim, from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay. Ralph Schoenman's blockbuster presentation, April 23rd at St. Mark's Church. For your contribution, your generous contribution to WBAI of $100, this 3 1/2 hour DVD is yours to share with your family, your friends, and your colleagues. 3 1/2 hours packed into one DVD. 2-hour lecture. We've been hearing excerpts of the lecture, and 1.5 hours of the dynamic question and answer period. As you know, a few weeks ago when Ralph was in New York and in the studio, we had the opportunity to have a question and answer on air. Well, here we have at St. Mark's 1.5 hours of questions thrown to Ralph and his amazing answers, his response, which ties 9/11. It's a freewheeling discussion, very important, but focused on the issues of 9/11 and what the pandemic means in terms of the progression from 9/11. 2-1-2-2-0-9-2-9-5-0.
What we're doing is weaving the history, because the history is one of consistent and perpetual preparation of militarized viruses and germ agents for use within the United States and without. We weave that into what is unfolding as we speak. We document it from the New Scientist. We expose the fact that, as Rachel Novak wrote in the New Scientist, the superflu is brewed in a military lab. And indeed, as Betsy McKay exposed on March 23rd in the Wall Street Journal 2005, the Center for Disease Control is creating an experimental pandemic bird flu virus, and it is a documented presentation on how it is being engendered across the United States. Bush military control of flu, Associated Press General Leuven, October 5th, 2005, goes into the relationship between this laboratory-created flu epidemic and the military means for controlling the population that are its accompaniment. Genetic engineering of the superviruses by Dr. May Van Ho in the International Bulletin of Scientists on July 10th of 2001, a documentation of precisely what has been occurring throughout our history. Why revive a deadly flu virus, asked Jamie Shreve in the New York Times on January 29, 2006, in a summary article that goes into the particulars about a government program, a military program, a laboratory-induced pandemic of virus after virus. This is the gravamen of the conspiracy at the top, the treason at the top, the targeting of our people, and it is the substance of this presentation in relation to 9/11 itself and the methods that the ruling class is driven to undertake to confront a population increasingly alienated from their corrupt and degenerative rule. Brothers and sisters, this is the substance of an indictment of a system, an indictment of criminal rulers. It is an expose of the treason at the top that we want you to be in possession of, to be armed with, and we ask your support for this information and for the radio station that allows it to be brought to you. Please call in your support now for Taking Aim and for WBAI. You will have a DVD, a 3.5 hour discussion. You only heard little intimations of it, little excerpts of the beginning of the talk. But as it develops and as the documentation overwhelms people with its power and with its total, its amplitude, you will understand and see why this information is so much and part of our arsenal of resistance, as I'm convinced we all want it to be. Please support this station, support this DVD and this information, and support Taking Aim. Call in now, please.
212-209-2950. And in case you forgot it in the last moment, the number again is 212-209-2950. When I don't hear the phones, that means they're all filled, and I know you're waiting. Keep redialing, because as someone gets off, then you will have an opportunity to reach someone in the tally room. Thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to Joe Friendly for creating the DVD, for videotaping it. It's wonderful to have the actual picture, the expression, the also the interaction with the audience. And thanks to Les Jamison and Frank Morales for the and the 9/11 Truth Movement for inviting Ralph and making this possible. And most of all, thanks to WBAI for giving us the opportunity each week for the last 5 years for being with you, each and every one of you. And thanks most of all to all our listeners in the tri-state area of New York foremost and throughout the world, in California, in Detroit, in Oregon, in the Philippines, in Thailand, in Australia, in Norway, in Great Britain, everywhere. People have been writing to us at our takingaim@packbell.net and who go to our website, and of course Mark Bilk, who maintains our archive. He's so rigorous to get it up there so that each and every one of you who don't have the opportunity to listen when we're on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock can go to either the WBAR archive or to our archive and hear the Taking Aim programs. But this very special program is only available for your $100 contribution. It's a DVD jam-packed with information. As you know, Ralph Schoenman is always there to present. 212-209-2950. We really hope you have your opportunity to contribute. We know this will be on the internet, but don't delay. WBAI needs your pledge right now. 212-209-2950. We don't have time to thank each and every one of you, so we're doing it collectively, and we really do appreciate all your response and your contribution at any level. Your contribution as a membership, as a sustainer of WBAI. And if you can afford more, get more DVDs for your friends and your family. Make a generous contribution as we've had from California. WBAI needs it to sustain itself, to be there for you. Remember, this is your station. 212-209-2950. Ralph, Michael?
Lock them up, says Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times on May 2, 2003, citing Bush's plan for quarantine and for emergency health powers and for the military controlling the cities and the counties and the states of the United States, permitting governors to respond to a crisis with states of emergency, imposed quarantines, ordered vaccinations, the destruction of property, I'm quoting, limiting of people's movements, rationing medicine, seizing anything from private hospitals to bodies, and indeed, 22 states have already implemented this plan. And with Kristof says, you're worried about civil liberties? Forget them, he says. And he says, we don't have the luxury of civil liberties, he says. The pandemic is upon us. We have to have a crash program of military control. Yes, he says, a dictatorial approach to public health, a dictatorial approach. You're talking about mass destruction through these viruses, and we have to respond to it with the appropriate military response. Lock them up is the headline in the New York Times of Nicholas Kristof, brothers and sisters. That's their agenda. They're prepared for it. They're profiting from it. They're imposing it upon us. They have a timetable in which to do it. We've got the data. We know what they're up to. We've exposed how it's going to be produced. We relate it to 9/11, and we're asking all our listeners to get this information where it's integrated, where it's related to what can be done, and to support the continuing struggle to resist. 212-209-2950, brothers and sisters. We're going to show who's going to be locked up, brothers and sisters. It's that handful of criminals at the top who are scheduled for the Huskow of a popular movement of the future. That's our task.
Ralph and Maya, we thank you so very much, as always, for bringing a compelling program to these airways every week, and particularly during the fundraising. We thank you very, very much for the work and the dedication that you bring to what you do, and we're very glad to have you as part of the producing end of WBAI.
Thank you, Michael.
One thing we should let people know is that even though we're going off the air for the news to begin, you can continue calling. People are in the tally room. They will take your calls, 212-209-2950. Remind them that you want, from forging 9/11 to creating the next pandemic, a system in terminal decay.
A 3.5-hour DVD, brothers and sisters. You'll pick up the energy, the passion, the dynamic response from the audience, and the desire to make change, not in the distant future, but now.
All right. Thank you very much, Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen from Taking Aim. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. I'd like to thank Marilyn Rogers from Farmingdale, New York, Roger Brooks from Brooklyn, Francis Watts from, where are we, West? There we go.
I wasn't reading it.
Oh, really? Okay. Francis Watts from Westport, Connecticut. Thank you very much, Francis. Marianne Bryant from Brooklyn. And who else do we have? We have Richard from Woodstock, New York. And Peggy from New York, New York, here on WBAI, listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio. As Maya said, please continue to call as Taking Aim goes off the air and the news begins. Please continue to call. Make your calls to WBAI, listener-supported, commercial-free community radio. It's 6 p.m. in New York City. Please stay tuned for a report of some of the day's events with the WBAI news team.